Good to see you here today as we gather for worship on this last Sunday in September, and beautiful weather outside. I'm glad that you're able to come today and to worship with us. I'd like to extend a special welcome to those who are visiting with us, and if it is your first time here, we invite you to take a welcome card from the pew rack in front of you. We ask that you fill the card out and place it in the offering plate so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. I'd like to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel, which is the room directly behind the sanctuary. You'll note on the back page, the bulletin, the calendar for this week, that both Bible study groups will be meeting on Tuesday, and Diaconate is scheduled to meet next Sunday after the service. A couple other things you'll note there above the weekly calendar is the announcement of a work day scheduled by the property trustees for Saturday, October 18th. From 9 to noon in the morning. We have both inside and outside projects planned to get ready for winter, that nasty word that's coming. But just if you can come and help, we'd appreciate that. Also, there's a sign-up sheet during coffee hour for greeters and coffee hour hosts in October. There are still a few openings, as far as I know. If you'd like to serve in that way, I encourage you to sign up to do that. Also, I want to call your attention to the final hymn today. It is out of the red hymnal, so don't get confused. It is out of the red hymnal. We're using both hymnals today, so I did want to make that announcement. And also, there is a Refugee Immigration Ministry order form for the fall bulb sale, and that will be getting today through the next couple of weeks. And there are order forms and a catalog on a table in Judson Chapel if you would like to place your order today, or if you want to think about it and place your order next week, you may do that. Orders are due by the 19th of October, and the delivery will be the following Sunday on October 26th. Our opening hymn this morning is We Are God's People, number 669 in the blue hymnal. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together. Let us pray. Almighty God, we sing praises to you, for you are the one we worship, the one to whom our allegiance is due. We are your people. We belong to you, and you are our God. Help us feel the power of your presence in our worship today, emboldening us to follow you. We ask this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We now pray as he taught, as we pray aloud together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. If there are children sitting farther back in the sanctuary, I invite you to come forward for our moments together. Good morning. Oh my goodness, you're awake this morning. Few in number, but strong in voice. It's good to see you this morning. I brought something with me. Do any of you eat this when you were little? Do you remember eating it? You do? You probably remember when your brother ate it. Those who have younger siblings may have remembered when it's baby food, isn't it? And why do we have baby food? Why don't we give babies just regular food? Oh, you're so smart. You're so smart. It's ground up because they don't have any teeth and they can't chew. So we give them sometimes pureed. Called pureed, chopped up, so it goes down more smoothly. So once they get off milk or formula, but they can't go to solid food yet, they get baby food. Well, you know, there's talks about baby food in the Bible. Did you know that? The Bible's full of all kinds of interesting things. And the Apostle Paul talks about baby food and talks about babies, and he was calling adults babies. Now, it's not nice to be called a baby, is it? You don't like being called a baby, do you? You say, oh, you're acting like a baby, or you're being very babyish. That's not usually something that we are proud of hearing for ourselves. And the Apostle Paul was upset with a church that he had started in the city called Corinth. And because they had started, and they heard about Jesus, and they got together, and they formed this church. But then Paul had to keep going on his travels, and other people came and started talking in the church about other things, not just about Jesus, but the people started putting their allegiance, they started sort of following whoever was talking at the time. So there were all these different groups in the church saying, well, you know, I follow Paul. And others say, well, I follow Peter or Cephas. And I follow Apollos. And others said, I don't follow any human being. I follow Jesus. But Paul said, but you're becoming like babies. You know, I got you going and you were almost ready for solid food. But now I've got to come back and I can't come back. So I'm going to write you this letter. And that's what he did. He wrote them a letter and told them, you're acting like babies. You need to be more mature. The people in the church were fighting, arguing with each other. They didn't agree with anything. Paul said, you need to find the common ground, which is Jesus Christ. And you need to look to Jesus for the answers to your questions. That sounds like good advice, doesn't it? And he said, then you'll be able to get off the baby food and you'll be able to eat solid food and it will give you nourishment. So we need to sometimes get the baby food. Sometimes we need that baby food or even in formula or milk. We need to go way back there, but not stay there very long. And then we need to get to the solid food. And where do we get our solid food? We get it from the Bible. The Bible gives us solid food. It gives us baby food too, but it also has some solid food in there for us. And that's one of the reasons you come to Sunday school and for worship and vacation Bible school and other activities, so that you can get from the formula and the baby food to the solid food. And so that you can help to follow Jesus and serve God. That's what Paul said. The mission, the purpose of the church was to serve God and to share Jesus with other people. And so that's the solid food we need to get to so that we can share it with others. So I want you to think about that when you sit down to your next meal this afternoon. Think about what it is and be thankful that you can chew it, that you don't have to have baby food, and that you can enjoy that. And think about how you're growing in your faith, too. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the opportunities to grow in our faith, that just as we are physically growing, that we're also growing as Christians, and our faith is getting deeper and deeper. Lord, help us when we act as if we're like a baby, and when we argue, and when we can't find what's the good part of being a Christian is all about. Lord, help us to always turn to the Bible, your word, to find guidance and leadership, and help us to turn to other adults in the congregation that will help us on our journey. We ask this all now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may go to your classes. We come to the part of our service where we're able to share our celebrations and concerns with one another, and then spend a few moments in prayer. And we want to continue to remember Lucille Berry in prayer today. And we want to continue to remember Dorothy and Lana as caregivers as well for them. Also, Irene Hoffman is again not here. Irene is still having a lot of problems, has talked to the doctor, and is having another endoscopy scheduled for tomorrow, an emergency one type of thing, to try and determine what exactly is the problem. So we want to keep Irene in prayer. It's, I think, 3 Sundays now that she's been away, and she has cabin fever, as she wrote to me in email yesterday. So we want to keep Irene in prayer. Also, we want to keep Jackie May in prayer. Jackie did have surgery last week because she'd fallen and broke her hip. She is at Glen Ridge now and having rehab. I saw her Thursday evening and seems to be doing okay. But they said probably at least 3 weeks of rehab. So I want to keep Jackie and Alan and extended family in prayer today. Also, Joe McCary has asked prayers for a friend of his, a high school classmate, Jeannie Masone Walsh, who has been diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer and never smoked, but parents did. And doctors say that may have been the secondhand smoke that may have caused it, but they aren't, you know, looking for a reason now. They're just trying to treat it. So she is having chemotherapy, so we do want to keep her in prayer today. All powerful, all loving, all merciful God, we thank you for the opportunity of gathering here this morning, being part of this congregation, spending these few minutes in worship and these moments in prayer, being able to open our hearts and minds to you. For some of us, we've come with a heavy burden. We've come looking to unload it, find help with carrying it. Others of us have come filled with joy and hope and just seeking to share that with others. Others may have come with questions, Lord, seeking answers. No matter why we came, Lord, it's good to be here. We pray, oh God, that your Spirit may touch each of us in special ways this day, that we may be different people for having been here, having worshiped you, having collectively been your body of Christ this morning. Lord, we've mentioned several who have health concerns, and we lift them up to you and pray for your Spirit to be with them. We pray for healing in their lives according to your will. We pray this day, O God, for those who are in mourning, who are missing a loved one, and pray that your Spirit also may be with them, a spirit of comfort, a spirit of peace, a spirit of encouragement. Lord, we pray for those today who are struggling for whatever reason, whatever the challenge may be, that they may find insight from you. Lord, we pray this day for our world, a dangerous place, a place where there is violence. Lord, we do continue to pray for peace in our world. We aren't sure how that can come about. But we do pray for peace in our world today. We pray, O God, for those who are homeless today as well. And especially remember the ministries that we support, Habitat for Humanity, Housing Families, Bread of Life, and TriCap, to name just a few, who are reaching out and attempting to work with those who find themselves without a home to live in. Lord, we pray for those who are hungry today as well. And I think especially of the ministry of Bread of Life. We pray that those who receive services may feel blessed by Bread of Life's ministry. Lord, our world is a difficult place to live in right now. We know that through the generations we have seen authors that have written similar words in previous times, but it does not change the impact that we feel today. And we do pray for our world today, Lord. You created us. You've placed us here. You've told us to be good stewards of all that we have been given. And at times we have failed to do that. We pray for your forgiveness in that. We pray for your wisdom now and in the coming days and weeks to be able to use what we have for good, that we may be kind and loving and peace-seeking in all of our relationships, so that your Spirit may be working through us and in us to bring harmony with those whom we encounter. Lord, we ask all of these things now to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We've worshiped with song, we've worshiped through reading scripture and through prayer. Now we have an opportunity of worshiping by presenting our tithes and our gifts. At this time, the ushers will receive the morning offering. Let's pray. Come, Spirit, come. Bless us and bless these gifts, that we may share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. We ask this in his name. Amen. You may be seated. Dave Latta is our worship leader today and will be reading the scripture.
Good morning. Today's scripture is from the 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. As a matter of fact, my friends, I could not talk to you as I talk to the people who have the Spirit. I had to talk to you as though you belonged to this world. As children in the Christian faith, I had to feed you milk, not solid food, because you were not ready for it. And even now you are not ready for it, because you still live as the people of the world live. When there is jealousy among you, and you quarrel with one another, doesn't this prove that you belong to this world, living by its standards? When one of you says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, aren't you acting like the worldly people? After all, who is Apollos? And who is Paul? We are simply God's servants, by whom you were led to believe. Each one of us does the work which the Lord gave him to do. I planted the seed. Apollos watered the plant, but it was God who made the plant grow. The one who plants and the one who waters really do not matter. It is God who matters, because he makes the plant grow. There is no difference between the one who plants and the one who waters. God will reward each according to the work each has done. For we are partners working together for God, and you are God's field. You are also God's building. These are the words of the Lord.
Thank you, Dave. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard these words in the Apostle Paul, we may be able to find ourselves being addressed in those words. If not right now, then perhaps sometime in our lifetime we've felt that way, that we're not mature in the faith, that we've lost sight of what it means to be a follower of Jesus and a member of a congregation. Lord, we pray this day that you would feed us with whatever type of food we need today, that we may be nourished, that we may be strengthened. And Lord, we pray that you will continue to nourish us along our journey, that eventually we may be able to eat the solid food, and we may be able to then become part of the mission and ministry of Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we ask this. Amen. What happens when a baby is brought into a room full of adults? Often many of the adults gather around the baby and they begin to make funny faces and they begin to babble gibberish. Baby talk is the catch-all phrase for both the sounds the infant makes as she or he works at learning language, and the high frequency and often mispronounced words the adults use around the baby to try to evoke his or her smile and cooing conversation. This non-standard form of speech used by adults when talking to infants is also referred to as infant-directed or child-directed speech, and informally known as parent-ease. Baby talk seems to be more effective than regular speech in getting an infant's attention. Studies have shown that very young infants actually prefer to listen to this type of speech, which is often slower and more repetitive in tone. But scientists also tell us that the language little ones hear is key to their development, and using proper language helps the young child develop a healthier vocabulary earlier in life. Baby talk may be cute, but it's the use of good words, properly pronounced and used often, that lead to mature speech. Researchers tell us that the number of words a baby hears a day is a predictor of how well his or her language will develop. For example, a baby in some homes will hear about 1,100 words a day, while a baby in some other homes may hear only about 500 words a day. Researchers encourage families to use words around the baby often, speaking everywhere from the bathtub to the changing table to reading appropriate books on a regular basis. But it's not just the number of words that matter. It's the context in which they're spoken. Rather than just a running commentary all day, other scientists and researchers at New York University say that it's the parent's response to the child's own attempts at speech that really matters. This leads to the point that we can't do baby talk forever and still expect a child to grow up with a mature vocabulary. Sometimes parents may have to do remedial work after an uncle, aunt, grandparent, or other well-meaning adult visits and uses their particular form of verbal incoherency with the child. In today's scripture lesson, the Apostle Paul sounds a lot like a parent doing remedial lessons with the infant Corinthian church, responding to its conflicting speech. It seems that while Paul, the church's spiritual parent, was away, the church had begun to listen other kinds of speaking that identified the church with various people who had come to visit. There was also confusion about the church's vocabulary when it came to leadership, which led to squabbling about the respective qualities of men named Paul, Peter, and Apollos. Some rejected all human leadership and said that they were only followers of Jesus. In fact, the first two chapters of this letter, Paul tries to do some remedial language training with this infant church, reminding them that Christ is not divided, and that Paul himself did not come to them proclaiming the mystery of God with lofty words and wisdom. Indeed, Paul himself had demonstrated the power of the Spirit, showing these visual cues to the infant church so that it could begin to name them on their own. The Corinthian church, however, had clearly forgotten the lesson, and they were now a confused gaggle of baby Christians in need of some remedial language training. And even though they, like many children, the church thought it was mature and spiritual, sophisticated in its speech and practice, Paul reminds them, though, that they are still apparently toothless baby believers who apparently only respond to baby talk and baby food. Now, there's nothing wrong with babies, infants, and infancies. A congregation like the one in Corinth goes through growth stages that mimic the physiological growth we experience as human beings. Paul understands that new Christians are going to need the milk of God's word. That's not a problem for Paul. But his dilemma is that the congregation in Corinth should have developed well beyond the baby stage by now. And he realizes that something is wrong. Paul equates the infants in Christ to, as the Good News Bible said, I believe, people of the world, or other translations say, people of the flesh. They're people who have come to know the words about Jesus, but they have not begun to assimilate them into their own practices, their actions. They still struggle with their old ways of being and doing. They are still behaving like selfish children with jealousy and quarreling, making them fit for assignment to the church nursery rather than to the mission of the church itself. This church in Corinth was not yet weaned from its surrounding culture and needed to go back on a very basic faith formula before it could begin to chew on solid food and speak and act with maturity. Paul then goes on to give a basic lesson in what the word church means. He tells the church at Corinth that the word church is not defined by who's in charge or who the latest celebrity preacher is, but by a group of people gifted to work together for a common purpose. And then Paul tends to mix his metaphors by stating the church is also a group of God's servants working together, God's field, God's building, a sign of God's kingdom. Before that mixed metaphor at the end in verse 9, Paul describes a church being planted by one and watered by another. But the growth comes from God. And he says that this is what we should imagine when we hear the word church. Some people plant the words. Others people come along and water that planting. But the growth comes from God. There are many words that we've been taught to equate with the term church, mostly from people who want to talk baby talk when it comes to the church and its mission. If we were to ask 100 people what church means, some will smile and their eyes will sparkle as they coo about the church and telling us all about the pretty building, perhaps on a corner in a square. Others will want to define the church by the lovely music they hear inside and perhaps from their tower bells. Still others will define the church as a place where they get their needs met. The church as a dispenser of religious goods and services. In short, the word church gets associated with things that are with things self-focused infants are concerned about. A place where everything's good as long as I get what I need and what I want. Otherwise, if I'm unhappy, here come the tears. Mature Christians, on the other hand, know that all these definitions of church are founded on the self-serving needs of humans. They know that instead, our faith does not rest on the power of human wisdom, but on the power of God. We deceive ourselves if we think we are wise in this age and should instead become fools so that we may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, as Paul wrote later in chapter 3 to his letter, the first letter to Corinth. Jesus once said that we must become like little children if we want to enter the kingdom. Children who are open to a different set of definitions and who will sit at the feet of a great parent who will teach a vocabulary that leads to maturity, faith, mission, and real hope. Paul called the Corinthian church to grow up, but he also began by going back to the very basics and developing a solid vocabulary around what it means to be the church. It's about mission, about being God's servants, about joining and working together for the harvest of God's field and the building up of God's kingdom. Researchers tell us that one of the ways we can help babies develop their vocabularies is to not only speak in response to their babble, but also to listen intently in order to make the correct response. Paul listened, and he heard the Corinthian church's ecclesiastical gibberish and responded in a way that would correct its speech and its understanding of the concept of being a church. How do each of us envision and define the concept of church? At the beginning of a new program year, this is a good question to ponder, both individually and collectively. As a congregation, do we think and speak with baby words or with a more mature vocabulary? Are we focused on serving ourselves or serving God? Do we behave like inexperienced children, tense teens, seeking young adults, or mature believers? Sometimes we need to go back to baby talk in order to hear and speak the basics And sometimes we do need to return to the milk and soft food when we cannot tolerate the solid food. Jesus told us that we need to be born again. But at some point, we need to be able to grow up, to develop a new vocabulary, and become productive members of Christ's body, the church. So in the coming weeks and months, I encourage us to develop our language and model our behavior after Jesus Christ as we strive to serve him. Let's pray together. Lord, at times we do come to you as infants in the faith, not knowing what to do or what to say. Sometimes, Lord, we're led astray by others. Forgive us when that happens, Lord, and call us back to the pathway. Help us to grow up from the baby food that we eat, that we can chew the solid food, that we can find guidance in your word that will help us to live each day. Lord, help our vocabulary to develop, not with necessarily high polluting words that impress others, but words that define who we are as Christians and who we are as a congregation. And may those words and our understanding of those words lead us to be your servants outside the walls of this building, in the world, ministering in your name, sharing the love, the hope, and the peace that Jesus Christ offers. And we ask this all in his name. Amen. The Apostle Peter tells us this word, whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and power forever and ever. Amen.